Tax Session Number 12585, Reel 5.
Reel 5.
So we questioned them with some doubt about how could it be possible that they'd buried the gun crew and there was George Roddy's. So they said it was definite they'd buried the gun crew, and they couldn't understand. It was as if it was his ghost. And it was not long after that we met George, and he told his story. He was shot during the jump into the slit trench, and I suppose this would be a rifle bullet that had gone straight through. He showed us the entry and exit wound in his chest. The bullet had gone right through the middle of his chest. And the other men, see, immediately he fell into the slit trench. The other men fell on top of him, and they were mown down by one of the glider troops with a Schmeisser. So, of course, Schmeisser bullets, machine pistol bullets, they don't go straight through. And this protected George. He was under such a group of men. And they were all killed. And George says that during the day he kept waking up from time to time and couldn't do anything about it until darkness. And he struggled out of the trench in darkness. And Germans were there in that immediate area. And he gave himself up to them and showed them his wound. And the very following day, they flew him to Athens in a Junkers 52. And that wound never bothered him in the slightest. He said it just didn't have any side effects or nothing at all. That's in the hospital in Athens. He just had care and attention, nothing else. And I worked with him on the first farm I was on as a prisoner of war, and it never bothered him there either. So that was a remarkable escape. So those two guns were lost in the first moments of battle. So no doubt, you see, the gliders came with the first troop-carrying planes, and the gliders, it would be their specific duty to put these Bofors out of action, because they were the main threat to the troop carriers. So the gliders landed as close as they could directly onto the Bofors, and they wiped out the crew, you see. They didn't put the gun out of action. In fact, they made use of it later. But such damage could have been done to these very slow troop-carrying planes when there was no light anti-aircraft left at all to engage them in fire. And, of course, no fighter aircraft. The fighter aircraft had been knocked out in ones and twos until there were none at all. And the day before the invasion, the alarm went on the airfield, and we knew that one plane had come back the day before, one only. And we were saying, surely that one won't take off, he won't take off alone to throw his life away. But the pilot did take the plane up. It was a regulation that the plane shouldn't be left on the airfield to be strafed and put out of action. But the plane, they should be flown into the sky. And this was a fearful waste of a heroic man. We were all so impressed. And this pilot took his plane off. And as it circled upward, the Messerschmitts came onto him like a swarm of hawks, onto one helpless sparrow. And it was pathetic to see the hurricane zigzagging from side to side and being shot up all the time. It didn't last long. And it fell into the sea about 150 yards from the coast. So that man, you know, must have been very heroic to take them all on in such a fashion. I can't understand it, really, why such a waste, a terrible waste. And that I've never read about that incident since, and of course it's well known. And the Air Force units must have publicised this in some way. But surely they shouldn't have insisted that one man should take up the very last plane.
What happened to you to Athens?
At Athens, I was there about 3 or 4 days only. And then we went to Salonika. The journey to Salonika was broken at a place called Lamia. The railway bridge over the gorge had been demolished by the British to slow down the German advance. And of course, our train came to a halt, the prison train, and we were loaded onto coaches. I was the last into a coach, and I was placed beside the driver. And immediately behind the driver was the German guard. And after the coach set off towards Lamia, first of all, a woman gave the driver a packet of sandwiches, and he gave them to me. They were very, very welcome. And within minutes of this, the driver, using pantomime, gave me to understand that he wanted me to take the wheel of the vehicle and to take the coach, take charge of the coach, and he was giving me his cap and jacket. And this was ridiculous, because the guard sitting just behind him was aware of everything that he was saying. And I hoped that he would drop this theme, which might have had repercussions. But as we went over the side of a fairly high mountain, and there was a bit of a clearing, he pulled the coach into the clearing and opened the bonnet of the coach, pretending something was wrong with the engine. And he came back into the coach, giving me his cap and jacket and asking me to take the coach away. He must have thought my friends would overwhelm the German or something like that. But it was such a stupid venture that, of course, I refused it. And we were all suffering from some stages of dysentery and not well at all. We weren't able to take advantage of any kind of offer of that nature. But so finally, he had the drivers the rest of the way, and at Lamia, we joined a train there. As we came off the coach, he shook hands with each man, and weeping such tears, demonstrating his love for the English. And you know, his disappointment over the way the war had gone. And but such is the attitude of the Greeks, especially at that time. the Greeks and the Cretans were so very loyal. And the Germans had thought otherwise, for they instructed their men that the Cretans would give them every assistance. So their intelligence was very much at fault.
What were conditions like at Salonika?
Salonika, not good at all. The food was bad. Men were trapping sparrows and boiling them up, cooking them. Not good at all. And it was there that our officers came to us and shook hands. They were going to officers' camp. So we parted with our familiar officers there. But of the two officers at Malmy, one of them said goodbye at Salonika. The other man was evacuated. He was a family man with two sons. And I think they pulled a few strings to get him aboard ship, you see. He had some slight wound.